Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness Inc.
Argue.
Okay, well, let's see what Andrew DiCecco thinks. My buddy from the Inside the Birds platform, InsideTheBirds.com, Inside the Birds podcast. I know you guys are doing a bunch. I'll be talking to Andrew today for Football at 4, so we'll expand this conversation. But it's good to see you, man. I haven't seen you since the Super Bowl.
Good to see you as well. I am in a coffee shop right now. I just finished up with a Fanatic, and I grabbed some free Wi-Fi here in the coffee shop.
Nice. Yeah, coffee shop. Yeah, you're blowing up on the Fanatic. I knew you went, Andrew. I knew you went.
Come
buddy.
On, he man. Did, come on.
Andrew did the 8 o'clock hour with Andrew and John over there. He'll be on at 4 o'clock for Football at 4, as he is every Thursday. We were laughing because your mock draft, Eagles, only 3 days ago, I put that caveat out. J.C. Latham was your pick, but it seems that he might not last past number 5 now, Andrew. How things change so quickly in this draft world?
According to mock drafts or NFL personnel? That's what it comes down to. According to mock drafts, he's going a little bit higher, but I sort of have him slotted anywhere from 15 to 25. He can go anywhere around that area. I didn't think that it was that much of a reach, especially if quarterbacks start coming off the board early. It's going to push a lot of talent down the board. I think Byron Murphy's going to go a little bit earlier than some are expecting, maybe even as high as number 8. Then you have
he's in the conversation to be that first defensive guy, Byron Murphy. We don't talk about him enough. He might go.
He was my pick when I did the mock draft with Jeff and Adam for Inside the Birds. I picked him going 8 to Atlanta, which could shake up the whole top round and, in my view, push a lot of talented tackles down the board. Could be J.C. Latham.
Yeah, and with Latham, to me, if he doesn't go 5, and Jim Harbaugh's a little wonky, so a lot of the guys, Albert Breer, a lot of plugged-in guys, DJ, I think, somebody, a lot of plugged-in guys are connecting Latham to the Chargers. If he doesn't go there, though, I think he's right back into the realm of where Andrew thinks he's going to be. So I think it's basically one team that's a little bit wonky with Jim Harbaugh, and they might take him over Joe Alt, which to me is insanity, but that's me.
Joe Alt is the safest lineman, but I think the one with the most upside, you could look at Mims, who's going to go later in the first round. Latham's a player who I really like, and Troy Fautanu is my favorite offensive lineman in this draft class.
I think Fautanu. Here's my cloud of prospects to trade up for. So give me your thoughts, Andrew, for the Eagles. Latham, Fautanu, Mitchell, corners, Terry and Arnold, perhaps Latu if he's got medical clearance, which none of us know. That's my cloud of prospects for a targeted trade up. Anybody you want to add, remove?
I would say Talisa Fuaga from Oregon State is a player who I think could play. Well, he played right tackle, but I think he can play guard. He's a nasty finisher, moves really well, and could be a player that the Eagles consider. And he's more of a natural fit at right tackle. Latham is a good player as well, John. I like where your mind at is there. But for me, I would trade up for Fautanu. He strikes me as a quintessential Jeff Stoutland offensive lineman with the versatility, the athleticism, and the nastiness in which he plays. And he has, to me, Eagles written all over him if he falls within striking distance.
Yep, he's probably – I gave three guys that I would be happy with on Friday. He's the second of the guy. The other guy we talked about right before you came on, Andrew, was Latu. And we were talking about if he did not have the injury concerns, what level of prospect are we talking about? Where would his name be being talked about as a draft prospect?
Number eight. I think he goes to the Falcons if there's no, if he has a clean bill of health and there's no medical concerns. That being said, not every team's going to sign off on Latu as being someone who they feel comfortable selecting. You may even see war rooms that are a little bit conflicted in that. In some may find that he's all right. And then there's might be others that feel it could be a potential risk down the line, and he may have a short career as a result of that. We have to see where the Eagles lie. And if he starts to fall, I mean, I think that he would have to be in heavy consideration for pick for 22. But if other teams pass, you have to wonder if the Eagles would as well.
They showed in the past that neck injuries have been something that they've been leery of.
And by the way, right before the last day that they could probably bring players in for 30 visits, which was April 17th, they brought him in right around that time. Yeah. And that was really for medical, to get some more medical background to make sure that if they had any questions, it was answered going into the draft weekend. So he's obviously somebody that's going to be highly thought of in the Eagles war room, and we'll have to see if that comes to fruition.
All right, I want to talk day three because nobody knows the draft better than you locally, Andrew. And that's interesting to me because what I think is going to happen is sort of that cloud of players. They're going to get one of them, and they're going to have to move one of their second-round picks. And so I'm not even focused on day two more than day three. Here's what I need from you. I need an off-ball linebacker that can compete with the worst position group on the team. So we're not talking about, you know, Brian Urlacher and Derek Brooks here. You got to compete. I need a running back, a backup running back, because you have no depth behind Saquon Barkley and Kenny Gainwell. And I need a third receiver. I need somebody relevant in that third receiver conversation. That's a tall task, but that's what I need from Andrew DeCecco. Oh, did we lose Andrew? He froze up on us. Hopefully that coffee house Wi-Fi will.
Now, isn't the coffee house supposed to have?
They're supposed to have tremendous Wi-Fi.
Right. Isn't that the whole purpose of the coffee house?
Bring them down and bring them back up. See if it works.
The whole purpose of the coffee house is that you get optimal Wi-Fi.
Yeah, you would think. You have to have top-tier Wi-Fi if you're going to be selling coffee, don't you?
Yeah, because you're essentially inviting people to hang out in your joint to drink coffee and do your work. You can't have flimsy Wi-Fi.
Yeah, and you're basically a makeshift office for a bunch of...
Well, I know Andrew's not here, but I do have his Inside the Birds mock draft up, so he can speak on this more because it could have changed. But... you asked for a running back. He gave you Dylan Laube from New Hampshire as a running back with pick 210. As a linebacker, let's see. He has Cedric Gray of North Carolina. That's pick 120.
Oh, I picked Cedric Gray in mine. Yeah.
That would be
exact
the fourth
same
round pick.
120, fourth. Yeah, Cedric
yep,
Gray. Love that pick.
Oregon safety Evan Williams at 161. That would be one of your fifth rounders. Leonard Taylor III, a defensive tackle at 171. You know, the defensive tackle position to me is pretty interesting because of the Fletcher Cox retirement. And I'm sure they had some thought that that would be a possibility. But how much do they trust what's left over in the room? You would say, well, Jordan Davis was a first-round pick. Jalen Carter was a first-round pick. Milton Williams. Fletcher played a lot of snaps last year. Someone's going to have to replace all of his snaps. And then if it's, let's say Jalen Carter replaces his snaps, someone's then got to replace Jalen Carter's snaps. If you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. No question about it. I would say the one thing, if you go back to the combine, though, Howie actually mentioned, he rarely does this stuff, and he said, if I'm being honest, if there's one position that is probably not going to be high on the want list, it's still defensive tackle because they have so much young depth and players they like. And it starts with Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Milton Williams, as you mentioned, but also guys like Marlon Tuipulotu and Moro Ojomo, the Eagles really like. So while they need to find those snaps, that Fletcher, I think a lot of them are going to be elevated onto Milton Williams, and Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter are going to play more as they get better with conditioning. So it's a mix between the three, but they also like Tuipulotu and Ojomo, and it's like, is the prospect on day three going to be better than those guys?
Well, and that's the,
maybe.
And those guys, like, I like Milton Williams. I think if he gets more regular playing time, a bigger role, then he should have more of an impact. And Ojomo is another interesting prospect. Those are the guys I talked about, similar to the cornerback room. Is, do you take a guy to just throw another guy in the mix when you have this group of younger players that you like?
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm not taking a cornerback on. Well, I shouldn't say that. I might take a slot cornerback on day three. But I'm not going to get a better prospect than Kaylee Ringo.
We were talking about this yesterday on the radio, which was we forget Ringo was a fourth round pick. Ricks was a guy who got playing time. Josh Job played a lot last year too. He's another guy that he's kind of forgotten because he got lapped.
Yeah.
Tell you about Jay Rogers here. Mekhi Gardner, you mentioned the guy they signed from the Raiders.
Tyler Hall.
Tyler Hall. So there's five guys right there. Like, I don't know how much more competition do you need at that. So, and it's not like those guys are old guys. You got a lot of younger players.
No, they're all young. Very young.
Those guys are about the same age as many of the prospects in this particular draft this year. All right, John, you can re-ask your question for Andrew. Right.
I don't know if you heard all of it, Andrew.
Sorry about
how
that.
Much you heard.
Sorry about that. Comcast internet issues, I was told. But
Coffeehouse. We were talking to Coffeehouse. You got to tell those guys they have to have rock solid Wi-Fi. People are
shout
doing
out
work
to there. Shout out to Sweet Java Cafe in Roxborough, though, on Ridge.
There
Ave.
We go.
Great folks over here. But I would say for day three, John, a linebacker you want to look at is Cedric Gray from North Carolina.
Love it. That was my pick as well.
Love Cedric Gray. I think he could be available at 120. Could go late three, along with Trevin Wallace from Kentucky. He's not going to go in the fourth round. I've seen him go all over the board. He's a day two guy all day. Cedric Gray would be a player that I would look at, very athletic. Now, you mentioned running back as well, right?
Yeah, running back and third receiver.
Isaiah Davis from South Dakota State. He's a bigger running back, explosive. But if you're looking for a more of a complementary type of player to what they already have in Saquon Barkley, I would say Jaden Sheridan from Monmouth is going to go in the sixth or seventh round. He's built like Darren Sproles. Darren Sproles actually spoke to him at the East-West Shrine Bowl, had a really long chat with him. And Kamani Vital from Troy is another player who has Darren Sproles' ability to catch the football. He's great in space and very explosive, home run hitting type of player. Those are guys that I would look at for that. And then for a third receiver, in the fourth or fifth round, I would say Jalen Coker. He's a wide receiver from Holy Cross. Jaquan Jackson is a wide receiver from Tulane, who the Eagles have shown considerable interest in. He's 5'9", 188 pounds, very very twitched up and good in space in the open field, and he could be that vertical slot. But it can also be somebody that you dump the football off to, and he's able to create yards that way, which they tried to do last season with Quez Watkins to not much success.
No.
Andrew,
no.
In this particular draft, the Eagles have 2 second-round picks, 50 and 53. In your mind, how valuable are those two positions?
Great question, Mike. And they're tremendously valuable. And I also think the third round is a money round in this draft, particularly for where the what the Eagles need at safety and linebacker and even edge rusher, situational edge rusher. So if they're able to acquire that, I would do everything that I could if I were Howie Roseman. But the second round, if you don't go a corner in round one, Mike, you're going to find someone like a Max Melton, who I've mentioned many times over your airwaves, Kamari Lassiter, TJ Tampa. Those are pretty solid corners that can step right in and help you. And if you look at what your board looks like, if you're the Eagles, how big of a discrepancy is Terry and Arnold from Max Melton, right? Is it worth trading up and giving up significant compensation for a player like Terry and Arnold versus someone like Max Melton in the second round? Those are really, really crucial spots. You might be able to add a tight end too.
That's an interesting take, though. You just mentioned what's separating a Max Melton, a second round pick, from a guy you might trade that 50 pick where you can get
them. Is it worth it? Is it worth
it? Go get an Arnold or a Mitchell. So would you say it's not worth trading 50 if you have to move up to get Mitchell or Arnold when you can stay at 50 and get a player like Melton?
Yeah, I think so. And there's no Pat Surtain in this draft class. There's not a lot of blue chip players, especially at corner. I don't see either player as blue chip. I see Quinyon Mitchell as the number one, the clear cut number one, at least in my estimation. And he's someone who I think is a very good player and a difference maker. But how much of a difference maker is he? You're going to be willing to fork over a second round pick on a team that really is devoid of young building blocks for the future? I don't know that you could do that, especially when you can get a corner in the second round that could step in and help you from day one. Max Melton's a day one starter in the slot.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
And he can play outside as well. Explosive player, good ball skills. So, I mean, it all depends on where they had these guys rated. But it wouldn't surprise me if some folks have Max Melton as a late round one, early second round guy.
Well, how many, you mentioned blue chippers. How many legit blue chippers in this draft does Andrew DeCecco have? And how many legit first-round grades do you have? It never goes to 32, does it?
No, I'd say like 5 or 6 blue chippers and like 17.
Yeah,
it's 17, 18 true first-round picks.
I'm not in love. So if I'm forced to, if I can't trade up, it's always about the player, if you like a player. So if the Eagles like Quinyon Mitchell, for instance, we'll see. go up and get that player. But when I think about 22, if I can't trade up, I want to trade down because I see a bunch of guys who are in the same mix, and I think you could pick up some value. Agree with that theory.
Yeah, someone like Akoye McKinstry, John, coming off the Jones fracture, is someone that you might be able to find at the back end of the first round. A Chop Robinson, depending on where you land on him, is a player that could go 25, 26, 27. Graham Barton, the offensive lineman, if he doesn't go 20 to Pittsburgh.
I love Graham Barton.
So do I.
I love
I know Graham you do. Yeah. So if he doesn't go 20 to Pittsburgh, who desperately needs a center, that's he can play center, guard, or tackle, that might be someone that you consider later in the first round.
Who's your safest pick in the draft in the first round? That guy with the highest floor, so to speak.
Probably Joe Alt. I think Joe Alt's the safe. Strong draft with offensive linemen, Joe Alt's the safest player in the strongest position in the draft. He would be my pick.
And I would put Graham Barton second. That's my two safest players, Joe Alt and Graham Barton. And it's always it's almost always offensive linemen.
Always have to say, it's always the offensive lineman. Yeah. You know, that you just feel like, hey, that guy could just do it for 10 years. He's got the technique already. He's got the footwork and great hand placement, and you don't have to worry a whole heck of a lot.
Well, so that's part of it, Mike, because you know an offensive lineman is getting to a second contract. You know it. You know nobody's going to complain about paying a top-tier offensive lineman. You see all the hand-wringing at other positions. Well, can I pay this guy this? You never hear that with the offensive line. If he's good, everybody's like, all right, second contract, bang. And they can be
I believe they have the highest success rate of any first round pick. Yeah.
Andrew, we heard a lot of Nate Wiggins. He was a popular mock drafted player to the Eagles. That seemingly has dissipated somewhat. Cooper DeJean is the other guy. He seemed like he was a popular guy in that 22 range. Are those guys, though, in your mind, good fits for what Philly does?
It's a great question. I got this earlier today. I would say I've been a little bit down on Nate Wiggins as I've navigated this process. One, he's very slight of build. We all know that. But he did gain 9 pounds for his pro day, reportedly. Got up to 182. You saw what happened to Emmanuel Forbes last season, being able to get bullied by some of the bigger wide receivers he was going against.
And Brown in his nightmares. Yeah.
And you wonder if that's something to be concerned about, because he may not be able to put on weight. He may be one of those guys that you're constantly worrying about. Can he get to 185 and sustain that? I also didn't love some of his effort plays where it looked like he got some lapses and laziness potentially. I didn't like his lack of aggressiveness in some instances. But on the other side of that coin, fellas, he's very athletic. He's fluid. He has really good ball skills, and he's very technically refined. I just have some other concerns in terms of build and other aspects of his game. But Cooper DeJean is somebody who I view as a safety. And when you look at what Vic Fangio covets historically in his safety position, it's someone that has a very high IQ and can be versatile, at which he can play corner, safety, nickel, and he can take the football away. So he's a game changer on the back end. And you pair him with someone like a C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who is also a ball hawk, and all of a sudden you're doing something there and you're able to get guys who can turn the tide on a given play.
You know, bit is an interesting discussion for me, Andrew, because I put a lot of stock into fit, especially when it comes to quarterbacks. That's obvious, but in scheme, philosophy, coaching, who are they going to be around? But even with the Eagles, and I think a lot about Bick and the defense they play. But I was talking to a GM the other day, and he brought up a good point. And I said, you know, you're right. They might not even have the same scheme next year, because if Nick Sirianni doesn't last, Vic Fangio is not going to last. And if there's a new coach, he's probably changing the whole stinking thing. So at least when it comes to the first round, I'm just taking the best player, whether it's defensive, offense. But then as you get to day three that we discussed a little bit, then I start looking at fits a little bit more. And I wanted to circle back to running back for this reason. I've always wanted to see a one-cut north-south guy behind this offensive line. So if they give you that definition, and I think they'll be more open to it because now they have Saquon, so he can handle some of the receiving stuff, hopefully, for their sake, a lot of it. Is there a guy that you like that is just north-south, one cut, bang, hit the hole, move the chains? Because I've always wanted to see that with this group and this offensive line, and we never get to see it.
Isaiah Davis from South Dakota State.
Oh, you brought the same guy.
220. He's a bruiser. He's a grinder between the tackles and pretty fluid. I think he has some – he's not going to hit the home run. That's not what you would be drafting him for. But he does have some burst and acceleration and pretty good vision. He's probably going to go rounds 5 or 6, I would say. But to fit your definition of what you're looking for as someone that could be – can grind out the clock and salt away games – in, you know, and swap out for Saquon, he would be somebody that would be near the top of my list.
Hey, Andrew, other than top end, I guess, corner, right? Everybody thinks they need to get that younger guy to maybe be the next outside corner. Do you think they have enough depth that you like that you wouldn't focus on corners in those middle rounds? Or are there corners in those deeper rounds that you like enough that you would be willing to add them to what you already have? Because you got a lot of young, interesting players already in that cornerback room, right? And you just added Isaiah Rogers, another younger player.
It's a great question. So if they don't address corner on day one or day two, which I don't foresee happening, I think they will, on day three, there's not another name that I would add to the mix of who you already have. You have to continue to develop your talent. I thought Kelee Ringo showed some good things. I really like what I saw from Eli Ricks, especially towards the end of the season. And you have Isaiah Rogers, who you mentioned, and Josh Jobs there as well. I want to see what Josh looks like with a new defensive coordinator there as well. Those guys, I think you got to let them develop. But I do think that you need to add a premier talent on day one or day two to really elevate that group as a whole.
Safety is a little bit different from the perspective of, you know, it's interesting to me because I'm a big Ringo guy. I think Ringo's got a chance to be a really good outside corner in this league if the Eagles develop him correctly and he gets a little bit more experience. And I think a lot of people are in my camp for that, at least a decent amount. With Reed Blankenship, because of where he started, Andrew, I feel like people are assuming that he's got a limited ceiling. I don't know. He looks pretty good to me as a developmental prospect. He played very well. And the biggest indication to that for me is that when he didn't play, because he had three short injuries, he got banged up three different times, missed games, including the playoff game. And when they didn't have him, they looked really bad. So that, to me, is a feather in his cap. Where are you with Reed Blankenship? Because I hear a lot of people say the Eagles need another safety. I don't know if they do. I'm fine with CJ and Reed Blankenship. Need some depth, but you also have Sidney Brown coming back from the torn ACL.
Well, I want to go back to something that you said, John, about him missing some time with three different injuries. That wasn't a blip on the radar because last season, the season before that, if you remember, he missed some time. He got hurt in the Giants game late in the season, and it looked like he was going to be done for the year. It ended up being like an ankle injury or something, and he only missed a few games. So you started to see maybe he's not able to withstand the rigors of the full slate of games. Sidney Brown's coming off an injury. The only sure thing you really have, that I would say, is C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Reed has been very solid. There are limitations to his game. I think he's solid in the way that a Marcus Epps was solid. Not going to be a game-changing type of player, but somebody you can win football games with, clearly. But I still think if you have a chance to add a premier talent, you can't just bank on the fact that you have those players in place. You have to swing the bat and get that player to really alter that room. CJ's a game-changer. If you can get a game-changer, another one back there, you have to do it.
All right, Andrew, the draft is finally here. This is Christmas Day for you. Is there a favorite fit for you for Philadelphia? Like, that's the perfect guy for what they need, and he will be there.
In the first round or throughout just at any point in the weekend?
How about both? If there's a first-round player that you think is the right impactful player, and then someone later on that you would say, man, I've been thinking about this guy, and he would be a great person in this spot for them?
In the first round, Latu would be the guy for me, because I do think that there will be teams who aren't comfortable with the medical. And if he's there at 22 and you're the Eagles and you've gotten a really close look at him and you know that he's the best pass rusher in this class and you know that next season you only have Nolan Smith and Bryce Huff under contract, the Eagles have shown that they're going to be a forward-thinking franchise and pull the trigger. Now, as a player who I think would be a tremendous fit in round two or any point in the draft would be Junior Colson, the linebacker from Michigan. He's my top-rated linebacker in this draft class, and I know there's been a lot of hype around Edgerrin Cooper, and he's a great player as well. But you're starting to see a lot of people trend off of Edgerrin Cooper and start to veer towards Junior Colson. He's a player who could very easily sneak in the back end of round one, just given the lack of depth at that position. He's a true Mike linebacker. He's physical. He comes downhill. But he's also very good at space. I think he's the best linebacker, at least in my opinion, in coverage. And he was the most consistent linebacker down to down in this draft class. He's the most ready to play and make an impact.
At Andrew DiCecco, make sure you follow Andrew X Twitter. This is his time of year. This is his ballywick, does a tremendous job with the draft, doing great work with the Fanatic as well. Where are you going to be tonight? Am I going to see you tonight? Or are you doing live hits? What are you doing, Andrew?
I will be doing live hits. Me and Moshe are going to do a live stream right after the pick, so I'll be tied up with that. Unfortunately, I won't see you, but I'll be seeing you. I'll see you soon down there.
All right, and before you go, I want you to put on the Howie hat. Three scenarios. They're trading up for insert name, they're staying put and taking insert name, or they're trading down to take insert name. So you got three different possibilities, because it takes two to tango. They might want to trade up, but they may not be able to. They may be forced to stay at 22. They may say, you know what? I don't want this spot. Let's trade down if somebody wants to come up. Bunch of different avenues. You got three choices. Give me a scenario. Give me a player for each scenario.
If they trade up, Seattle would be a team that I would look at. And if you're looking at it in terms of what players would realistically be available on the board, I would say Troy Fautanu, because I sort of had him penciled in to go to Seattle and fall right within that range. And that would be a player who the Eagles are obviously very enamored with, particularly Jeff Stoutland. If they hold firm at 22, John, I think that Latu would be the pick there, because, like I said, I do think he would land there. And in most drafts, if he didn't have the medical, he'd be going in the top 10, and that's pretty much a surefire slam dunk. But if they move down and maybe add a third-round pick, which would be a tremendous benefit, especially in this class, I would say Graham Barton would be a name to look for.
I love it. I love you. I love
and
you.
Kool-Aid McKinstry would be another player to look for who visited the Eagles. By the way, Kool-Aid McKinstry, I like him. He's a steady player, and there's something to be said for starting day one for Nick Saban. But he does a lot of things well, but nothing really exceptional.
Yeah. If I'm a day one starter, Grant Barton, right guard, bang, it's done.
Love him.
Done deal.
Great minds think alike.
Andrew DiCecco, everybody. Check out the Inside the Birds podcast and platform for a lot of Andrew's work. And I'll be talking to Andrew at 4 o'clock today on the radio for football at 4. So we'll get a little deeper into this draft as the Eagles, by that point, we're going to just be hours away from the pick, 4 hours away from the start of the draft. And Andrew, I will see you later. It's good to see you, man.
Yeah, this was fun, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks,
Have
Andrew.
Have a nice latte for Latte Latu. How about that? You get a latte for a latte.
Nice. That's a pro right there, Mike Gill. That is
we've
well
got
done.
A couple minutes left to go. A lot of people are streaming in, and we appreciate you sticking through. Hopefully you enjoyed Colin. I thought had great stories in the first hour, and Andrew, excellent on the draft. We'll finish up with some final thoughts next on Birds 365.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now. Save big.